In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We give thanks that over the last year, a number of God's children have joined us in our worship and fellowship at Church of the Holy Spirit. But, like most congregations, we have had other people quietly separate themselves from our congregation. We regret it, but it happens. When someone leaves a congregation, we assume they depart from joining another church. But in reality, most people who leave do not go because they are unhappy with something at the church, offended by the rectors, or even deep in sermons, angry with the best hope, or eager to join a congregation that is more liberal or more conservative. No, when most people leave a congregation, they generally do not go somewhere else. They just depart. They stop going to church. Consciously or subconsciously, they decide that they do not need a Christian community. Maybe this happens because people cannot see a connection between the hour they spend in worship and the other 165 hours of their week. I wonder if one of the reasons this is happening in the 21st century church is that fewer people know how to live a Christian life in an intentional manner. At the heart of our faith is the simple truth that we are graciously accepted by God for the sake of Jesus Christ. Maybe Christians are convinced that they need to do something in order to earn God's love and approval. And they often feel they are not measuring up, so they leave. One way to heal this mistake is to widen our understanding of a fuller Christian life. There are four behaviors essential to a complete, balanced Christian life. A commitment to growing in an understanding of the Christian faith. An ordered life that is rooted in the principles of stewardship and provides opportunities to minister in the name of Christ. And a pattern of faithful participation in prayer and worship. Gathering with others to hear the proclaimed word and to receive the Eucharist. Perhaps some Christians mainly experience the last of these three things, worship, and then only when worship is convenient. Once upon a time, the general culture supported and reinforced Christian values. Church attendance was encouraged by society, which organized community activities so as not to intrude on congressional activities, particularly on Sunday. Well, those days are over. The emerging culture with its high expectations and overscheduling does nothing to encourage the Christian life. Today, we celebrate the baptism of our Lord. Some people are not quite sure what to make of baptism, why we do it, what it really represents, how it has any impact on our lives. It isn't that people do not believe in baptism. No, most people, even those who do not worship with regularity, generally want to have their children baptized. Although the same incident in the life of Jesus is rarely recorded in all four Gospels, Jesus' baptism is a significant exception. This event, marking the starting of Jesus' ministry, is recorded by all four of the evangelists. Jesus was baptized so he could stand in solidarity with his people. His baptism marked the start of his formal ministry. For Jesus, baptism was the beginning of a sacred journey of faith and blessing. In our gospel lesson, Luke tells us that after Jesus was baptized and was present, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." In his baptism, Jesus was given the name, "This is my Son, the Beloved." The same could be said of us. In our baptisms, we too were given the name. That name that was recorded in the courthouse, placed on the birth certificate, and written in the church register for now and forever. But in our baptism, we were also given another precious name. We too are declared beloved. And as we are marked with the cross of Christ, we are made children of God forever. Baptism teaches us who we are, God's beloved children, and bestows upon us the promise of God's unconditional love for us. Baptism also gives us an identity that transcends all the other ways we can be grouped or identified. Race, gender, age, nationality, political party, economic status, or sexual orientation. Our baptism defines who we are, a follower of Jesus Christ, and that is what we will always be. It is so important that we understand and honor the meaning of our baptism. Baptism defines our identity in a way that no other marker does. It should be our primary orientation in life. The Apostle Paul put it this way in his letter to the Galatians. "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for all of us are one in Christ Jesus." This means that the church is one body and that we all need each other. We are all one body, all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, whether we like it or not, it is who we are. So when our life comes to an end, it will not matter whether you are male or female, Episcopalian or Southern Baptist, Democrat or Republican, American or Chinese. All that will matter is that we are beloved sons and daughters of the living God. Our Lord has prepared a place for us and called us by name, for we have been marked with the cross of Christ forever. This is most certainly true. Thanks be to God. Amen.